Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Stephen.
So this is the 31st French Film Festival year, and every year French cinema always produces some very important films that are seen around the world. So what does 2020 have in store for French cinema?
But we had a very big year again. You know that we produce 250 films approximately every year. And this year has been very productive again. A lot of films in very different territories. And in particular this year, what we could notice is that films which are particularly socially or politically charged were very successful in box office in France. It's an interesting signal sent by the audience about their appetite for stronger films and films more connected to their reality and the reality of the world. And there are a few films around that area which we have in the lineup, and they were all very successful. They had 2 million spectators in box office in France. Les Misérables, of course, actually, which won the Grand Prix in Cannes and ran for the Oscars. In the Name of the Land, a film about farmers, which is very, very moving, very strong, very sad as well. So successful, too. The Invisible, about female homeless women. So there are a few films like this one. There have also always been social, political films done in France. But this year, in particular, they met big audiences, which is something quite new.
This year, for people that really like to sort of celebrate the history of film, you have Michel Havanavicius's new film, The Lost Prince, now with the success of Artist, and it's sort of, even if people love things like Martin Scorsese, Hugo, do you think this film will appeal to people with a real interest in the magic of cinema?
Yes, of course. So there are a few films which are indeed celebrations of the magic of cinema. There is this one, The Lost Prince, which is by Michel Havanavicius, who, as you said, was behind The Artist and was very successful a few years ago. It's a very Pixar-esque film. It's a mix of live action and animation, with Omar Sy as the main character. And it really looks like a Pixar film, like Toy Story or vice versa. So the film, it asks this question: what happens to our heroes when we don't need them anymore, when we are becoming adults or when we are not kids anymore? And where do they go? And where are they stored, in a way? And it's a very rare case of a huge French Hollywood-like production with special effects. And there is also another one, celebrates the magic of cinema and filmmaking, which is called La Belle Époque by Nicolas Bedos, which is a film in a film in a film. And it's a film about a man who runs a company which delivers some services to very rich clients, wants to live certain periods of their life or the big history again. And so they stage these dinners with Marie Antoinette or meetings with Hitler. For those who are crazy enough to want to have a meeting with Hitler, but anyway. And so the character played by Daniel Auteuil wants to live the day he met his wife in 1974 again. It's really a nod to filmmaking and to this atmosphere on set. One of the best films was premiered in Cannes last year. There was a 7-minute standing ovation.
This year you also have a celebration of the great career of Catherine Deneuve, who at the age of 76 continues the great performances. Anyone who saw The Truth over the Christmas period realize that she's an actress that continues to be in fine film now. One of the things that certainly stood out when I saw the lineup was the 2K restoration of Jack Remy's Donkey Skin. Can you tell us a little bit about this, this sort of modern fairy tale?
It's not a modern fairy tale because it was released for the first time in France 50 years ago. We are celebrating its 50th anniversary. But it's still a modern. It's based on a true fairy tale by Perrault, Peau d'âne, Donkey Skin. And the film is a legend in France. And I was quite surprised to discover that eventually the Australian audience didn't know it so well or didn't know it at all sometimes. Though it's really an iconic film in France, and particularly for the young girls, and particularly for my generation, the kids from my generation. And so the film is by Jacques Demy, as you said, with the soundtrack by Michel Legrand, as usual. And it's a pure wonder, with this stellar cast, with Catherine Deneuve as the main character, the princess, Jean Marais, the father, the king, Delphine Seyrig. And it's it's a musical, it's a fairy tale, the colors are amazing. It's absolutely unmissable, and particularly for our family audience.
And talking about Catherine Deneuve, you also have her in two films with André Téchin, in 1981's Hotel America, and also he's got a new film called Farewell to Night.
Farewell to the Night is their last collaboration between Catherine Deneuve and André Téchin, and they collaborated several times together. And I thought that it was a good idea because we had Farewell to the Night in the lineup anyway, because which is a film about a grandmother played by Catherine Deneuve who tries to deter her grandson to join ISIS. And so I liked the idea of mirroring this film with Hotel America, which was another collaboration between Téchiné and Catherine Deneuve. When she's now a grandmother, she has to face this very difficult situation with the grandson who wants to join ISIS, which is another social clash.
And also, it's the sort of stories of zombies. Now, they originated in the slave revolts in Haiti. Now, Bertrand Bonello has a provocative film called Zombie Child, which looks like an interesting film that sort of experiments with conventions of horror. Can you tell us a little bit about this one?
Yeah, Zombie Child, I really had a crush for this one when I was in Cannes, where it was premiered as well. And I like the fact that this film weaves two different stories. A story about a boarding school in France, a very famous boarding school called La Légion d'Honneur for young girls. And a story about an Haitian zombie and the zombie tradition in Haiti. And so it weaves these two cultures. It's also a cultural clash, actually, which and there is a point of contact in the film, which is this young girl who is in this boarding school and has a Haitian background. And so it's about our post-colonialism and how France deals or doesn't deal with post-colonialism, because, as you say, Haiti was the first black republic in the world after being a French colony. And so this film is partly pertinent now when we have all these debates about how we deal with post-colonialism, deal with countries we had colonized a long time ago. So it's partly pertinent for France, but it's of course partly pertinent here as well. So it's a very, very bizarre film, which I think should be seen twice to really understand the underlying messages about the film. But it's a mix of horror and it could be categorized as a horror film, but it's much more of a political film, actually.
Now, let's talk about politics now, modern-day frustration with the sort of lack of political courage in many of our contemporary leaders. It's pretty much an international phenomenon now. You have a film called Alice and the Mayor, which stars Fabrice Luchini.
Yes, it's a great, great, great film. I wouldn't have expected to be so excited and to enjoy a film, a political film, so much. But actually, it's the best political film I've ever seen, about a mayor of a big city in Lyon who hires a young teacher in philosophy. He has no more ideas. He's in action all the time, and he faces this mind rot, which is a general trend everywhere. People are so into action and that they don't think anymore. And it's Nicolas Parisot, the film director, asks this question, well, actually these two questions, which are why people who act don't think and why people who think don't act, and how can we find a better balance between acting and thinking? It sounds very heavy and intellectual, but it's very easy. The dialogues are very sharp and funny. Fabrice Luchini is absolutely stunning. Mm.
Cyrano de Bergerac is one of those great plays that inspired countless films and theatre productions. And this year, it's actually inspired two films in your lineup. One is called Edmund, based around Edmund Rostand's actual creation.
Yes.
And you have another one called Roxanne, based on a local Britain chicken farmer who, while performing this play, becomes a bit of a YouTube sensation. Do you want to tell us a bit about these two films?
It's funny to see how the same source of inspiration can take two totally opposite directions. The period, the very traditional period film, Edmond, about Edmond Rostand and how he struggled to write Cyrano de Bergerac in a very, very short time. It's the very traditional period movie, and Roxanne is another twist, and a totally different twist on the same topic, which is Cyrano de Bergerac, with this guy who reads Cyrano de Bergerac to his chickens. It's very funny.